So hello, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours calling in from beautiful Boquete, Panama. And while we're waiting on our guest speaker, Carol, to join us, I thought I would give you an update on what's going on in Panama. We're still under a quarantine. The borders are still closed to Panama. No flights can come in. No flights can go out, except for the embassies have arranged for some humanitarian flights. I think they have two or three in the month of June of humanitarian flights that are leaving Panama to go back into the United States or into Canada. And they've had one flight that came from the United States into Panama for people that are Panamanians or that already have their permanent residency. But other than that, the borders are still closed. And the president just announced a few minutes ago, I put it on our Facebook page, that our airport, Tacoma International Airport, was scheduled to open on June 22nd. But he said that's not going to happen. It's not going to open on that date. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that the Pilots Association actually did a little bit of a protest. Now, the protests in Panama are different. They were all wearing a tie and walking in uniform down the street with a sign saying it's too soon to open the airport. So there was no violence or anything involved in the protest. But there's just concern that we still have a lot of active cases and still have a lot of new cases that are happening, like 400 new cases every day. So the president just said it's too soon to open the airport to allow people to come in from other countries. We don't know when it's going to open. As soon as I know more, then I will definitely let you know when. So, Carol, I see that you called in, but you used a different line. Can you hear me, Carol?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah, you called in on the, there's two lines. There's one that has a code for host to use, and there's another one that has a code for people that are not host. So if it's at all possible, could you hang up and call right back in and use the code 240880 for the access code, and then you'll be on the host line?
Sure. You said 240880?
Right, and put the pound sign at the end of it.
Okay, no problem. Sorry, I was...
Okay. I just happened to see your name down there and the people that have already pressed star 6 to ask a question. So the very same call-in number, just 240880 for the host access code.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Thanks. Thank you. So while we're waiting on Carol to call back in, that's kind of what's going on. You know, we still, the quarantine that we have has been greatly reduced in some parts of Panama. Where I live in Boquete, we just have a curfew. We have to be in our home between 7 p.m. and 5 a.m. But other than that, we're allowed to be outside and go hiking or bike riding or gardening or shopping or anything we want to do whenever it's not that curfew. We just have to stay in our province. There's no travel in between provinces. A province is like a state. So I'm in Chiriquí province, and I can't travel outside of Chiriquí province. No problem. I don't really want to do that anyway. However, in Panama City, where the majority of our cases are, and also in Panama West, which is over by the Coronado area, and also in Colón, which is north of Panama City, they're still under a very strict quarantine there where they can only go out three times a week for 2 hours. That's all, only for 2 hours, because there's just a big spike in cases there, and they're trying to get control of it by really reducing movement in those particular areas. So that's what's going on. I see you there now. Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you for calling back in. So Carol, I just gave everybody kind of an update on what's going on, that you are just in a quarantine like I am. You can go out anytime between 5 a.m. and 7 p.m. But then in Panama City and Panama West and Colón, they're still under a very strict quarantine. And we're going to get through this. You know, the good thing is that We really haven't seen any shortages of. We have all the food we want. Toilet paper is readily available. They're selling masks all over the place. The fish guy comes up every day selling fresh fish from the ocean. I was in town today, and there were probably 4 pickup trucks full of pineapples and papayas and things like that are readily available. So even though we're under strict quarantine, it's not so bad because everything we need is just readily available.
Right. So we're even seeing new places open up every day in Chitray.
Yeah, same thing here. We're seeing new businesses. Now, they were supposed to start letting barbershops and beauty shops and places like that open up in phase 3, but the president announced today that they're not going to allow phase 3 to open just yet. So it's going to be a little while for some things.
Yeah.
But life is good. Life is good. It's still, you know, I wish we didn't have a pandemic going on and it would be a whole lot better, but I love being where I am, and the alternative of being back in the United States, I'd rather be right where I am. So, Carol, if you could talk a little bit to everybody about when did you come to Panama and why were you really thinking about moving to Panama?
Okay. Actually, I've been here since August. So I'm coming up on my year in Panama, and I was actually investigating 3 different countries, Costa Rica, Belize, and Panama, and I came on Jackie's tour. I was lucky and managed to get in on one of her tours, and honestly, it sold me on the entire country. There are many areas of this country I'd love to live in, but I had to talk to myself and say, okay, but what can you afford? What do you want to do every day? What kind of weather do you want all the time? And so I focused on ocean area. I also focused on, I really wanted to keep my budget down, and I didn't need a lot of the American conveniences. I was okay to have an older type of house. And I'm actually in the second house. When I first came here, I came with 2 other people. We were roommates, and we had a kind of a Panamanian house. We stayed there until the end of March, and we were going to stay there the whole year, but there were just situations that it just wasn't working out, and we each found a house to move to. And it's kind of coincidental, my old roommates are actually my neighbors now across the street. But my house, for example, it's a house was built actually by a man from Sweden, but he's been in Panama for many, many, many years.
Talking about the originally you moved to Waray? And that was a little 2-bedroom house right next to the beach. But now you're in a beach community called Rompio. And so the house that you're in now, the one you're talking about is the one in Rompio Beach. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm in this house by myself. We're still in between Chitray and Las Tablas, a little bit closer to Chitray. My house is, I love this place. It's a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. I do not have hot water, though, but it's a, oh, my gosh. I've got fans in several rooms. I do have air conditioners in the bedroom. There's actually a kind of a living area upstairs that also has an air conditioner. I've used them just to use them, to turn them on to make sure they're working. But I'm perfectly happy with my windows open and fans going on. I am across the street from the ocean, but I can hear the ocean. And from my balcony, I can actually see it. From my patio, I can kind of see it, but I don't really see the waves. So I'm in a perfect place, I think, because I'm not really getting the sea salt. So things are not sticky. My clothes are not kind of damp. I'm far enough away, but yet I can actually still see it from my balcony. I have a great big kitchen. I have a really nice living room. I have a nice big dining room. I have a front yard. I have a little backyard. I have a terraza, or terrazzo, whichever. So I'm very, very happy. I have a garage, which is great. And my garage actually opens to my house. So I couldn't be happier. My ex-roommate did get a house right on the beach. It's an interesting situation, though, because it's a real fixer-upper. But one of my roommates, Danny, he enjoys doing a lot of, you know, fixing up and working. But they have worked very, 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 very hard on that house. But it's becoming a great house to live in. And, again, they're right on the beach. Right now, they actually are in the States. They just took a humanitarian flight. They needed a break. They wanted a break from all the work on the house. They wanted to see their grandkids. And so they decided to take a break, take a nice long vacation. They're hoping that they might be able to get back by September-ish. Who knows? But they realize that. They realize that they are residents. They did go through the process of their residency. I did not. I started it, but I wasn't collecting Social Security. I am collecting that now. And so I actually do have a lawyer that I've got a retainer with. And I actually have just contacted my lawyer, and I'm going to go through the process now from here, from Panama. And Myra just sent me all the information that I need. I will need to go up to Panama City one time to do my fingerprints, my FBI fingerprints, and turn in my Social Security letter. And then they will kind of take care of what goes on there. And then later, when they're actually ready to start submitting everything, I will go up to Panama City for what everybody else does, about 3 or 4 days, go through the process of getting your residency.
Right.
So,
with the pandemic, they are modifying the procedures for getting a visa so that your time in the immigration office is going to be extremely minimized, which is excellent.
Yeah.
It's really
yeah.
good. So they're trying to make it as streamlined and easy as possible, so you're in that immigration office very, very little time. And that's good. That's good, because the way they did it before, it was just ridiculous. You'd go to the immigration office in Panama City, and there could be 400 or 500 people in there, all sitting crammed in like sardines, and you're waiting for them to call E-25. And then you go to one number. Then they call E-13. Then you go to a different number. And it could be a four-hour process in one day, and you have to go back 3 different days to make all that happen. So it's really the pandemic has caused them to reexamine the way that they've been doing things and to make the whole process a whole lot easier. So that's good.
Yeah, and the timing for me actually worked out very well. My 180 days will be up August the 16th, but the government put into place that if you're a tourist, you have 90 days from June the 8th to get either leave the country or get the process started for a residency. And so I'm going to fit right into that time frame of getting my process started. So hopefully I shouldn't have to pay any fines for staying past my 180 days.
You won't have to, and I know your attorney would be able to get it waived if they tried to do anything. So one of the really unique things about that area between Chitré and Los Tablas, whether it's Warré or Playa Olvarito, we interviewed Phil last week, or Rompillo, is that that's really the cultural center of Panama. So the great thing about living in that area is two things. One, it's much more affordable than other beach areas, but also all of the festivals and the heritage of Panama, it seems to happen right in that area. Have you been able to experience those things, some of the festivities and celebrations that they do in that area, Carol?
Oh, yes. I've pretty much been to every single festival that they've had here, and I've loved them. They've been great. Some of the festivals, I mean, it gets just crazy crowded with people. So some of them, I may not ever go back again. The Thousand Folletos Festival, oh, my gosh, the streets are just jam-packed with people. But to go and experience it was wonderful, and I loved it. And, you know, I may wait a few years before I go back again. But every time there's a new festival, I want to experience it. I want to see it. And that's been a pleasure, getting to know Panama and getting to know the culture, being able to go to all those festivals and then being right here in my backyard.
Right. And the cost to live in the area where you are, that whole area between Chircre and Las Tablas, it is less than half. Probably
yes.
Two-thirds cheaper than if you were living in the Coronado area. So one of the wonderful things about Panama is we do have 1,500 miles of coastline, and regardless of what your budget is, there's going to be a place that's a good fit for you. So if you're one of those people that can afford $4,000 or $5,000 a month living expenses, go for it. You can live in the Coronado area or Panama City, but if you're living on Social Security only and a fixed, very, very fixed income, or even if you just don't want to be spending all your money, there's plenty of places where you can live for, I know the place you were renting before was, I think, $550 a month for a two-bedroom, and the one
yes.
that you have now, is it $600?
It is $600, yes.
Yeah. There's another couple that came on a Panama relocation tour, Anita and Greg. And we have a video of them up. They now live in Playa Overito, but they rented the house that Carol's in. So I got to see it when Greg and Anita lived in there. Small world.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's funny. A lot of people have actually lived in this house. So they've been able to give me lots of information about what's going on and what's been done and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's been very interesting. And I'm actually just about to one of the expats, they have they know an electrician that they trust. I'm about ready to call him, and I think I'm going to put one of those suicide showers in my upstairs bathroom, because I would kind of like to have hot water. You know, it'd be nice to take a shower before you go to bed, and it being warm water instead of cold. Right now, if I take a shower of between, say, 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock, the first part of my shower is hot because the pipes have been heated up by the sun, but then it turns cold. So that's kind of a convenience and an American thing that I'm going to succumb to, and I think I'm going to pay for that. But the hot water heaters that you can buy for that, they run, $150. And then I'll need to pay an electrician to install it. So that's worth it to me to get that convenience. And my landlord has pretty much told me he doesn't care what I do to this place short of knocking down a wall.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things we tell people on the very first day of the tour, and I know you remember that, is that not all houses in Panama have a hot water heater. Some do, but some of them don't. So it's one of the things that you need to inquire about. And if you're living in a warm area like Carol is, where it's hot outside, you may not need a hot water heater. But some people just like to have that convenience of at least being able to take a shower or maybe be able to wash your dishes in hot water. But in Panama, not all houses have hot water. So it's something you definitely need to find out about.
Yeah, definitely.
So in the time that you've been in Panama, have you stayed in Panama the whole time, or have you done some traveling to other countries or back to the United States?
Well, I'm kind of an odd pigeon. I retired with American Airlines, so that's one of the reasons I didn't get my residency in the very beginning, because flights back and forth to the United States run me under $100 round trip. So, you know, it didn't cost me that much to go back to the States. So I actually, before January, or maybe I guess before February, I'd gone back to the States about 4 or 5 times. But that's how I was moving. Every time I went back to the States, I would fill up 2 50-pound bags and bring them back. I'd go back to the States with 2 empty bags and come back with 2 50-pound bags. So I was able to move, and it didn't cost me anything because my bags don't cost to check. But that's only because I, you know, retired with American Airlines. My last trip was in February, so that's where my 180 days comes from, because I actually was planning on going back to the States in May and loading up two more suitcases. So, yes, but, you know, again, I'm kind of a different animal, and I was kind of cheating the way I was moving here, going back and forth to the States.
Yeah, and used to flying. So in that area between Los Tablas and Chitré, what's the shopping opportunities like and other amenities?
Well, you know what? That's actually one of the reasons that I liked it here so much, because we have two cities. We have Los Tablas, which is not as big, but there's two big grocery stores there and lots of little stores, furniture stores, appliance stores. And then we have Chitré, which is a bigger city. In fact, I think, isn't it like the third largest in the country? Or it's pretty big.
Yeah, it's third or fourth largest. It's like 100,000 population.
Yeah, it's a pretty big city. And Chitré has lots of grocery stores. It has, I mean, a car dealership, big hotels, restaurants. They have a mall. I mean, Chitré, they've pretty much got whatever you're going to want. So that was one of the reasons that I wanted to come out here, because I live out kind of in the country, but it's a 20-30 minute drive, which is, to me, from the States, that's no big deal to go into town to get whatever I need. And actually from here in Rompeo, I can just go about 10-15 minutes if I, you know, to a decent sized grocery store. I don't have to actually go all the way into Chitré. So that's why I liked it, because I had all the conveniences, yet I was really living out in the country. I mean, when I say country, there's a herd of cows that will literally walk down my dirt road in front of my house and cut across and go to the beach and go for a swim. and they do this every other day, I mean, quite often. And sometimes they'll stop in the lot next to mine and, you know, get some grass to eat, lounge around a little bit. And, yeah, so it's nothing for me to look out and, oh, there goes the cows. I mean, so it's there have been a couple of times when people are wanting to come down the road and they have to just stop and wait, because we're talking, there might be 8 cows, there might be 10 of them, you know, and they, I think the farmer just lets them out of his his corral.
Yeah. I know the last time I was there, there were quite a few free range chickens also.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. Los Tablas is a smaller town, but it still has some nice grocery stores. And then Chitré, it has some big American-style grocery stores that are open 24 hours a day, big pharmacies, excellent restaurants. There's even a small airport to get you from Chitré back into Panama City if you wanted to fly. Instead of, a lot of people take the bus. I think the bus is about $5 to go back to Panama City. So it's the best of both worlds, that you have a super affordable housing in that area. You have all the amenities that you need. You're at the cultural center of Panama, that you get to experience not living in an expat kind of neighborhood where everything is just like it was back in the United States or back in Canada or back in Europe, but you really get to experience the Panama lifestyle.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed that. And, I mean, I've got a Panamanian neighbor that's kind of right across from me, Tito, and then Tito down the street is Panamanian. And then going the other way, the other direction, there's actually another Panamanian. But then there are 3 expats that also live across the street. So we're a little bit intermixed, but there's quite a few expats that live out here in El Rompeo. And I am very happy here, very, very glad I came out here. I love this house. I mean, the Guarare was beautiful, and we did enjoy it. But it was you know, it was kind of a stepping stone into what's the life you're going to live in Panama. And I have definitely found that life, and I'm having lots of fun fixing up this house and, you know, figuring things out.
Well, I know that you had to have some surgery since we've been locked down here on the pandemic. Tell us about your experience with the hospital and surgery and staying in the hospital and everything. How did that go?
Well, it was very, very interesting. Probably not the time that you want to have an emergency like that happen during a pandemic when there's a lockdown. But let me tell you, you know what? It's called who you know and networking. And it was like I was fortunate. My ex-roommates are now my neighbors, and Barb had been looking in on me. I'd been sick for about 3 or 4 days, but she'd been checking in on me. Now, she's a nurse. And that fourth day, she said, okay, that's it. You're too far gone. I was dehydrated. I was having abdominal pains. She didn't know if I had appendicitis or I had whatever it was, but it was something, and it was serious enough that I needed to go to the hospital. So she and her husband, Danny, put me in the car, and it was not during our quarantine time, because of course we were during the quarantine time, but we just jumped in the car and figured, well, this is an emergency, and we took off. We went to the first hospital that we got to, which is, it's a really big hospital, really nice new one, Anita Moreno, but apparently, and we didn't know this, they had turned that one into the COVID hospital. So we pulled up to emergency, and they said, don't get out of the car, ask what my symptoms were. When Denny told them, they said, nope, you don't want to be here. This is strictly COVID. And they gave us directions to the other hospital. I do not believe the private hospital was open. They sent us to the public hospital. And so we got to the public hospital, got to the ER, and got me out of the car. And they got me, you know, registered and signed in. But this is Panama, and it's kind of interesting with me. For those of you that know me, I'm Hispanic, and so I've got dark skin, and I could probably pass for a Panamanian. Well, the first thing they asked me was, asked for my passport, and I gave it to them. But they were looking at me thinking, So they asked my parents' name. Now, I didn't think too much of it, and I thought, well, okay, my mom is Clorinda, my dad was Alfonso, and then I just said Gonzalez. And they said, what, your mom's last name? And I said Gonzalez, not thinking of her surname, maiden name. So they registered me as Carol Gonzalez Gonzalez. Now, in my passport, it says Carol Waldman. So this... actually, it was kind of funny. It's really funny now, but caused a lot of confusion. But in Panama, you go by your parents' name, not your name. And so anyways, but they went ahead and got me to the triage room, put me on an IV right away, which was excellent, helped me out. And they had immediately, we're going through, okay, what are your symptoms? What's going on? They ended up giving me, I got an x-ray, I had a ultrasound done. Now those, you pay for them before you actually get them done, and you pay cash. My friends Barb and Denny pretty much knew we were going to need cash, so they were prepared. And so they would pay it, then they would take me off, get me the ultrasound. At that point, they pulled me into a side room and said, looks like you're going to need some surgery. We're still not quite sure what it is, but we know it's going to be some surgery. And they told me that I had to drink some fluid so that the next day I could do a CT scan with the glowing, so I would glow and they could look at that. And so they went ahead, and it was pretty late. It was like 9 or 10 at night when they finally did check me into the hospital. Barb and Denny stayed there probably about 8 hours. But during this 8 hours, though, I mean, they were doing the test. But still, it does take a long time. But anyway,
did the doctor speak English?
Actually, quite a few of the doctors do speak English, so that was very mm-hmm. helpful. Now, this is the public hospital, so it's a teaching hospital. So I saw many, many doctors, and I saw lots of interns. And so they checked me in that night, and I kept drinking the stuff. And actually, quite a few of the nurses speak Spanish, and I knew a little bit, and I got by enough when the nurse didn't speak English, and I, you know, we managed to figure out what they wanted or what I wanted. And now this is Panama, so the next morning they told me they would probably be taking me into surgery about 9 o'clock. Didn't get in till 11. But that's not bad, actually. That's not bad in Panama.
That's Panama time. So yes. for the x-rays and the CAT scans and just the initial emergency room visit, well, I'll let you finish telling the story. Make sure and tell everybody, what did everything cost? What were your costs on everything?
Okay, the x-ray was $20, the ultrasound was $40, and at first they had told me I was going to need to pay for the CT scan before I could have the surgery, and because I remember I had talked to Barb and Denny and said, you guys are going to have to come back to the hospital because, you know, they didn't leave me any money. They didn't want me to have cash, and I talked to the doctors and said, do I need to pay cash before you do the surgery? And he said, no, you're fine. Don't worry about it. So we didn't pay anything else until I actually left the hospital. So, again, I had the CT scan. Then they took me into surgery. From surgery, they took me, you know, to recovery. And then from recovery, they took me. I think I was in kind of what they call their ICU in surgery area. But it was a great big room, and there were six of us in there. After a while, four of the people that were in there were able to leave, and there was just one other lady and myself that stayed in that room the rest of the time. But Barb and Denny would come to the hospital to check on me, and they met a gentleman that is kind of his job is a liaison, and he takes things to patients. Like if they bring a blanket or a pillow or something like that, he takes those items to the patient because the visitors can't go to the room. Well, he speaks English. So Danny and Barb got to talking with him, and he was so sweet. He actually snuck Denny up there the first time, so that Denny could see me, and I think they brought me a pillow and a blanket, and then the next time he snuck Barb up there so she could see me, and she brought me a couple of more things. The hospital doesn't provide anything for you except the sheets that you lay on and you cover with. That's it. They don't provide anything, no pillow, no blankets, no soap, nothing, no Kleenex. They don't provide anything. So if you want items, you have to have somebody from home bring them. And I was lucky enough to have Barb and Danny to help me out there.
Yeah, the public hospitals, just let me go explain to everybody that there's a two-tier hospital system in Panama. There's the public hospitals and the private hospitals. The public hospitals, anybody that lives here can use the public hospitals. And if you just have a routine doctor visit, it's about $2 to see a doctor. For a specialist, it might be $5. I think it's about $10 a day if you're admitted into the hospital. But it's bare bones. There's nothing fancy about it, but you're going to get really good care. The doctors that you're seeing are often the very same doctor you would see at the private hospital, where everything would cost $100 a day maybe, or $80 a day to stay in the hospital. But you're going to have the fancy bed and the pillows and the blankets and a lot more care. So the public hospitals are designed that no matter what someone's budget is, that they can afford to get medical care here. There's no monthly fee to use the public hospitals. You can just go in and see a doctor, and it doesn't cost very much. And like you said, Carol, have surgery. So what was you had an obstruction in your abdominal area? Is that what the problem was?
Well, actually, my intestines decided to latch up against the abdominal wall. And so they got obstructed, yeah. And so when he went in, that's what he found. I did have some gallstones, but the gallstones were due to the obstruction. And so he didn't mess with anything. He didn't take anything out. He just cut the intestines off of the wall. They pulled them out, kind of straightened them out, and then put them back in me, and then sewed me up. I have a very large incision. It's about 6 inches. It's all the way from my breastbone all the way down, just below my belly button. I have a very, very large incision.
No more bikinis for you for a while.
No, I'll wear them. I'll just have a conversation piece to talk about.
There you go.
But and the nice thing, though, about, you know, when it's a teaching hospital is that you have lots of different doctors seeing your case and discussing it and talking about, well, what about this and what about that? And so that actually was an advantage for me. And they talked to you as well. It was quite interesting that they will talk to you. Now, one of the expats here knew an intern that had just started there at the hospital, so they contacted her. She came in to see me on her day off and talked to me and, you know, to make me feel better. In fact, one day she even tried to go get some prescriptions for me, some meds they didn't have at the hospital, but the doctor really wanted me to take them. So he said, if you can find somebody to get these prescriptions, I'd rather use these. But the doctors talk to you. And I know when, I was supposed to be on a liquid diet, but they kept putting milk, giving me milk, and I knew I wasn't supposed to be drinking milk. One morning when the doctors did their rounds, I told the doctor, I said, I know a liquid diet is like clear liquid, but they're bringing me milk, and they keep putting milk in my broth, making it thicker. And he said, oh, no, no, no. And I said, I know, right. And I said, so, you know, I mean, I'd like to have broth, but I just don't want it with milk in it. And so he said, okay. And so he, you know, talked to them and got that fixed. And you can talk to the doctors, and you can request something or make a suggestion or ask them questions. My surgeon, when he, you know, because he came to see me usually twice a day. Probably the second day he came to see me, he told me, he said, let me give you my phone number so that if you have a question and you don't have to ask the nurses and then they try to get a hold of me, you just call me. And I was like, okay. So I got my phone out and I was like, okay, I'm not really good at this. And he said, oh, here, give it to me. So he put his phone number in my phone for me. I mean, it's a real different attitude that the doctors have. Very friendly, very, I don't know, just, you know, on the same level. And then, like I told you, the intern that came to see me, there was one day she couldn't come, so she asked one of her colleagues. So he comes to see me just to find out how I'm doing, you know, do you need anything, are you okay? And that was, again, just because of one of the expats that knew somebody. So now I had my own personal, you know, intern coming in to check on me, make sure everything was okay. My surgeon being such a sweetie, I did actually call him a couple of times asking for something. It was a little scary because, you know, they're not speaking English, and there were times that the nurses did not understand me and I did not understand them. A couple of times I wanted some pain medication, and they were like, no, you can't have any. I was like, yes, yes. Dr. Lawrence said okay, it was okay. No, no, it's not on the chart. So I pushed and pushed and got them to call the doctor. Doctor said yes, so then I got my pain medication. So, you know, sometimes the translation was a little bit scary, a little bit rough. I couldn't have any visitors. It, you know, Barb and Denny just snuck up a couple of times. But So that was a little bit scary, and I have to admit, I mean, I was very depressed because, you know, I have this major surgery. I'm in lots of pain. Even after my surgery, I'm still in pain. But I was a very good patient. Doctor told me walk. So I did. I walked and walked, and I walked the halls, and in fact, I got in trouble a couple of times for walking and wanting to, you know, you need to stay in bed and stay on your IV. You can't walk with an IV. They have to take the IV off of you to go for a walk because they don't have rolling IVs. So it was very interesting. But 6 days later, I stayed in the hospital for 6 days because they wanted to make sure that, everything was moving inside there, and I was having some bowels, and I was eating. I was starting to eat real food. So they kept me for 6 days, but when they finally checked me out, our liaison, Victor, the guy that had been helping us out, he actually went to the cashier to, you know, find out what the bill was going to be. And Barb and Denny were there ready to pay, and so he went to the cashier to find out, okay, how much is it going to cost? Now, you don't pay the doctor. Doctors are paid by the government. So all you pay is the hospital. So I needed to pay for the hospital bill and for that CT scan. When Victor came back and told Danny, okay, you know, this is how much it's going to cost, they had originally told him that it was going to cost $150. But Victor told them, oh, guys, she's single and she's a tourist and she doesn't have a lot of money. Can you make it a little bit less? So they took my bill down to $80.
Wow.
So Victor went and paid the $80, and then they got the wheelchair and rolled me out, and I scheduled the doctor had said, oh, he had said, call me, you know, call me if you need anything. And he had scheduled an appointment. He had said, I'll probably see you like in a month or so. So we came home, and we've kept in touch with Victor. And a few days out, I had some question. I can't remember what it was. So I called the doctor, and I asked him, and he said, well, can you take a picture of your incision so I can see what it looks like? And I said, well, let's do a video conference. We did a video conference so he could look at it, and he looked at it, and he says, oh, okay, good. I like what it looks like. He says, I'll tell you what, though. I'd kind of like to see it in person. Can you come in a week? And I was like, yeah, because I knew I could get Barb and Denny to take me in. So he said, okay, come in then at 11 o'clock, and that way I can look at it in person. Okay. So, that was great. Oh, I forgot to tell you, though, when Barb and Denny were at the hospital, previous to that, they had met a police officer, or Denny had met a police officer, and just talked to him. And then coincidentally, that same day, they were both getting gas at the same gas station. So Denny talked to him again. Well, the police officer gave Denny his phone number. So when they left the hospital the night they checked me into emergency, they called that police officer and said, ooh, what do we do? Because we came here as an emergency, but now we're going home alone, and it's like 10 o'clock at night, way past our curfew. The police officer radioed the other officers on the road, gave them Denny's license plate number, and said, he's coming through. Let him go. And then he sent Denny a letter that Denny was able to print out that allowed Denny to go on other days to go to the hospital to take me things. So, you know, coincidentally, they meet this officer, and he was, you know, you make friends with everybody because that really came in handy, that they didn't have to worry about getting stopped. They had a letter that said they were going to the hospital to you know, take care of me or deliver things, that sort of thing. I mean, oh, my gosh. Panama is definitely one of those countries that, networking counts and make friends with everybody, be nice to everybody. But so I went to see the doctor a week after I'd been in the hospital. I have not paid for any doctor visits that he's told me to come in to see him. I went a week after I was home, and then again I went a month after I was home and to see him. And he's been very pleased with what's going on. I'm healing very well. He's really happy. This is kind of funny. The last time I saw him, which was a couple of weeks ago, he told me that afternoon, because they'd been lifting some of the curfews, that afternoon he was going to the beach with his wife. And I guess her parents or grandparents lived in Rompeo, where I live, and they were going to the beach. And I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll see you, because, you know, I've been walking my dog in the afternoon. So that afternoon I'm walking my dog, and I'm actually kind of on my way back home, and there's this guy yelling at me, and all of a sudden I hear this horn honking, and he's just waving and waving, and I turn around and I look, and sure enough, it's my doctor. He's yelling at me to say hello.
Yeah. It's, you know, I've had a couple of surgeries in Panama, and my experience was very similar. They always give you their cell phone, their home phone. They say if you have any problems to call me. And even when Melissa, my daughter, was here, and she had this big red spot on her eye, so I contacted my ophthalmologist on WhatsApp, and I said, you know, do we need to go to the hospital or doctor? And he said, take a picture of it, send it to me. So we took a picture and sent it to me. He said, no, 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 it's okay. Just have her take these drops, you know, twice a day, and wrote a prescription and sent it to me on WhatsApp. So it's a very, it's a healthcare. I really think they put the care back in healthcare here in Panama. They you're not just a number, you're not just a, you know, the next person. They really care about your well-being. They want to make sure you're not having any pain. They want to make sure you're healing correctly. And it's just heartwarming that there's still places like that in the world where people really care about each other.
Yes. And actually, my doctor has also, he made some phone calls, and because I was looking for a rheumatologist. And he actually, apparently there was somebody from the Boquete area that was coming down here twice a month that decided to retire when this COVID stuff started. But they found somebody else that comes. And so I haven't called him yet, but I will be in touch. And he told me, he said, yeah, I'll give you a, you know, if you want a particular kind of doctor or something, I'd be happy to give you a referral, and, you know, and I can call these doctors and talk to them, and some of them speak English, some of them don't, you know, so it's kind of what you prefer. And, I feel very comfortable here. I have to admit, though, the expats that live around me, oh, my gosh, they were just as good. They were so wonderful to me, helping me out, you know, coming over and making toast for me, getting me something to drink, talking to me, getting my mind off of everything. My expat neighbors were absolutely part of my therapy, part of my recovery. I couldn't have done it without them. But everybody, you know, everybody, I mean, they lived right across the street, so they could help me. Other expats had said, I'm so sorry, if I lived closer, you know, we would have helped you. We would have brought you food or something if we could have, but, you know, we were all locked down, so nobody really could do any movement. You know, they were kind of illegally coming across the street to help me out. I have felt very comfortable, very safe here in Panama. My daughters were, you know, kind of worried about me and felt really bad because they couldn't get to me, but I had the best of care.
So are there things that you, and you really did, you had some great care at an incredible price. So it was like $150 total for all the x-rays and CAT scans and your surgery and 6 days in the hospital for about $6. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That's I was floored. I had no idea.
That's with no insurance, just so everybody knows. Carol doesn't have international health insurance. That's just what the costs are at the public hospitals.
Right, right, absolutely. And, I mean, we went there because we had to. I don't believe the private hospital was open, but I felt like, you know, I did not have any problem whatsoever with the care. And honestly, even if I had gone to the private hospital, just talking from other folks, it probably still wouldn't have been outrageous. It probably would have been a couple of thousand, maybe a little bit more, you know, maybe more than that. But it still would have been reasonable. It would have been probably what you pay in the States with a copay.
Yeah.
For, you know, big, big surgery like that. So
and you may have even had the very same surgeon.
That's very true. Absolutely.
Because
true.
Some of the surgeons, most of the doctors that work at the private hospitals also work at the public hospitals a certain number of hours a day. So you could have had the very same surgeon. It's just you would have had a pillow and blankets and maybe a little better food and a nicer room or things like that. But you know, what you had got you well, so that's what's important.
Actually, the food, when I finally did start getting real food, oh, it was delicious. It was as good as a restaurant. Maybe I was starving and I was so hungry for real food, but no, I don't think so. I think it was very, very good. I was very impressed and pleased by the food.
Well, I'm so glad that you're feeling better and that you had a good experience. And the main thing is that you already had a network of people around you that could help, that you knew who to call, and that people were checking on you. So that's real essential whenever you move to Panama. If you just stay in your house and watch TV and you don't get out there and make friends, then it's not a good situation. You need to get out there and make friends, both expats and Panamanians, and know as many people as you can, because you never know who's going to be your lifeline whenever you need help.
That is exactly true. That is so, so true. And, I mean, just today, somebody that lives in Pedasi, which is down south of Las Tablas, she had been showing some jewelry on Facebook that I really liked. Well, they were up in Chitre shopping, and she contacted me and said, you know, I'm up in your area. And so we made arrangements, and we met so I could see her jewelry. I grabbed one of the neighbors, and then actually another person closer to Las Tablas, they were going to be coming over to our area, so they stopped by as well. So she made several sales of her jewelry, you know, and it started with I saw her jewelry on Facebook. And I wrote something and said, oh, hey, I'd love to meet you, and I really like this jewelry, and at some point I'd like to go down maybe to Pedasi to see it. And, oh, absolutely. It just, I mean, I've had two flat tires, and both flat tires, the first time I had some young, I don't know if they were teenagers or maybe in their early 20s, three boys and a girl, and they saw me, they stopped, the boys looked at each other, they came over, and they just proceeded to fix my tire. Didn't ask, they just jumped in and proceeded to fix my flat tire. The next time, I was actually pulled off at a gas station, and this car pulled up, and I thought he wanted to use the air hose, and he jumped out of his car. He has, looks like a pregnant woman in there. I can see some groceries, and I can see a grandpa in the car. He jumps out of the car, walks over to me, sees I've got the flat tire, and he proceeds to change my flat tire for me. I mean, these people are just, they see you need something. Okay, I can do it. I will do it. I've been very happy here, and the people have been wonderful. They just want to be treated well. And
With respect. Yeah.
With respect, and yeah. And I try and speak as much Spanish as I can, and they appreciate it. I use Google Translate a lot, and the people are very receptive to me and very helpful.
Right. Well, you know, even like if you're on the bus or if you're walking around town and people can look at you, and if you have this puzzled look on your face, they know. They can tell. She needs mm-hmm. to know something, and they'll walk right up to you and say, "Can I help you?" And
yes,
I'm trying to find this store, or I'm trying to find this pharmacy, or where's that street? And they don't just point it out. They'll walk a block and show you exactly where to go.
Yes, they will. They absolutely will. They'll grab your arm and they will take you there.
Yeah, it's just I love it here, as you can tell, and so does Carol too. So Carol, we've got just a little bit of time for some questions from our audience. Is it okay if I open it up for some questions?
Sure.
Okay. I think our first one is area code 828. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yep.
Okay. Thanks for having the call. Carol, thank you for the time that you're taking to talk with us. One question I had, and either one of you can answer this, but is any of the civil unrest that's occurring down in, like, Venezuela and that area finding its way back up towards Central America? And what would you say differentiates Panama from a country like Venezuela, which at one time was one of the wealthiest countries in the world?
No civil unrest here.
No. You know, there are some places in Panama City where some of the people have, they have violated their curfew. And the police have said, you know, go back in your house. So there have been some situations where people have blocked the road and say, we need food, we need to go back to work. But it's been pretty peaceful. And the police have been right on top of it and taking care of things. So the big difference between a place like Venezuela and a place like Panama, the most important thing is Venezuela relies almost exclusively on income from oil to make their money. Maybe a little bit of tourism, but mostly oil, like 80% of their income. So when oil prices dropped a long time ago, their economy went kaput. And, you know, now oil is back down again, so their economy is just going into a nosedive, which is making it very, very hard. The big difference is that Panama's economy is extremely diversified. A lot of people think that the Panama Canal is how they make all their money. The reality is that the canal is only about 20% of their income sources. Panama also has the second largest free trade zone in the world. That's another 20% of their income sources. They have the largest ship registry in the world, and there's annual renewal fees for all the ships that are registered to Panama. So that's another income source. They have exports of bananas and coconuts and pineapples and things like that, another income source. The largest copper mine in the world right here in Panama, another income source. So Panama, and that's one, when I was doing my research about places to move to, and I looked at Ecuador and Colombia and Uruguay and Costa Rica and a lot of other places, and I discovered that you just don't want to move someplace where, you know, if there's a hiccup in the economy, like we're having right now with the pandemic, that it could just nosedive the whole economy. Yes, Panama has taken a hit because of this pandemic, but we still have ships going through that canal every single day. There's still stuff going out of the free trade zone every single day. They're still doing exports every single day. Ship registries are still happening. Corporation renewals are still happening. So that's the big, big difference in Panama, is that it has a very diversified income source. Okay?
That's great to hear. Yeah, that's great to hear. Thank you.
Uh-huh. So let's take one more question. Let's see. Next question is area code 910. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Debbie and Chuck calling, and I have a couple of quick questions.
Basically, our documents expire in mid-August. So with the airport not reopening, do you think that that will be a six-month rule? Do you think that will be extended by immigration?
Yes. Yeah, they've already announced that if you have any documents that expire, I think between, it was March 15th and August, that they're giving you another three-month extension on your documents. So
okay.
You don't have to start all you don't have to start all over again.
Okay, very quickly, are the buses and taxis running in Boquete, or when if you want to go from Boquete to David, do you have to hire like a private driver, or the buses and taxis still running?
The bus is running on a very limited schedule between David and Boquete. It's $1.75 to take the bus from Boquete to David, which is about a 30-minute ride. There's also taxis that are running. The taxis throughout Panama are also on a reduced schedule. If their license plate ends in an even number, they can drive on certain days. If their license plate ends in an odd number, they can drive on certain days. They're trying to limit how many people are out in public at any one time. So that's why they have these restrictions. So, yes, those things are still working.
Okay, do you have to wear a mask inside a taxi and a bus?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's social distancing requirements, and you have to wear a mask anytime you are out in public. If you're in your own private car, you don't have to wear a mask in your car, but as soon as you step out of the car, you have to mask up. Any stores you go into, you have to have a mask. If you're in a bus or a taxi or any of those things, you have to wear a mask.
Okay, real quick. So if you're renting a house in Boquete and you have to go into town to buy groceries, and there is a taxi available to do that?
Yes. And there's also little regional buses that go throughout the different communities. They're also running on a reduced schedule. But I went into town today, and I came back, and in front of me was one of those little buses. So if I didn't have a car, I could just stand by my driveway, and that bus would come by probably every 20 minutes or so, and you just jump on the bus, and it's $1 to go into town.
Great. Thank you. That's all I need to know. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome.
So I'm going to take one more question, and that's it. Area code 810, go right ahead.
Oh, hi. Hey, I just wanted to know, since you were talking about someone that will live by the water, what color is the water in Panama? Is it pretty blue green, or is it more of a darker color?
It's more of a darker color. We're not Caribbean. This is Pacific. I personally think that the beach that I'm at right here in Rompeo is the prettiest beach, and it's the prettiest ocean color. But I know Phil and Gloria will probably disagree with me about, and Anita and Greg, Uberito. But it's a pretty color. We do have kind of a dark colored sand, but I think it's pretty. I mean, when I go for my walks, I take my flip-flops off as soon as I get to the beach, and I walk barefoot the entire walk. And I do about maybe 2 miles. Yeah, and we don't have any rocks on our beach. It's really, really nice. And it's Pacific color, so it's a blue green, but it's not the Caribbean color.
Okay.
It's not the turquoise color. It's a blue-green color. And, you know, if you just poured down rain, that's going to stir things up, and it might look more brown right after it rains. But if it hasn't just rained, then it's kind of a dark blue-green color. It's still very, very pretty. Also, it doesn't have, it has waves, but not the great big gigantic waves in that area, so you can still get out in the water safely. And there's not riptides and undertows in that area where Carol lives either.
And yeah. What's the name of the area?
Rompeo.
Rompeo. if you look for everything pretty much on the Azuero Peninsula, yeah, we have really nice beaches down here. And there's actually a beach down close, around Pedasi, Isla Iguana. I understand that beach there, it looks like the Caribbean. Absolutely incredible, beautiful, beautiful blue. But, and it's a little island that you go out to, maybe a 30-minute boat ride to go out to this little island. So, you know, if I really have to go to paradise, my not good enough, I'm pretty close to paradise.
You're in a great area right where you are. So, Carol, thank you so much for spending time sharing your experiences living in Panama and your emergency surgery experience also. Before we call it a night, do you have any final words of wisdom or advice for someone that's thinking about moving to Panama?
Honestly, I think the advice is advice that you have given. Come and stay here for a while. Rent and, you know, stay here for a while and give it a chance, because it's not for everybody. It probably can be. It depends. It depends on how much like an American or a Canadian or you want to live, how many conveniences you want. You can find all the conveniences. It's going to cost you more money. There are bugs. This is the rainy season, and yeah, we got some bugs. So, you know, you have to think about what can you handle, what kind of a paradise do you want. I absolutely love the beach. I, you know, put a little bug spray on and go out. I know Jackie loves the mountains, and she loves the rain there. Jackie, you probably get some mosquitoes too. Yeah, you just use a little bug spray. And you're good to go.
Yeah, we don't have that many bugs up in the mountains, but, you know, there's pros and cons of every single area. And right now, because of the borders are closed, we can't do Panama relocation tours, obviously. And even when they do open the borders, we probably won't start doing tours right away. And we're sold out till the end of the year. But we have started offering something new. It's called the online Panama Relocation Guide, which has all the same information that we get on a Panama relocation tour, but it's all online. So you get instant access to that and start learning about all the different areas. I've got a whole section on the best places to live, talking about the pros and the cons of each one with pictures, talking about the pros and cons of the different visa options, talking about where to get health care, explaining more detail about the public health care system, and on of all the information that you need. So if anybody's sort of thinking about moving to Panama, if this has sounded pretty good to you, I encourage you to check out our online Panama Relocation Guide. And if you just go to our website, Panama Relocation Tours, and click on the very top where it says Online Guide, that has a lot more details about it. It's a fraction of the cost of going on a tour, and you can start learning immediately. So when they do open up the borders, you'll be ready to come check it out and see if Panama is going to work for you. I don't advise that you just do the guide and say, okay, I'm moving to Panama. It's better to come check it out first before you make that final decision, just like Carol did. Carol came on a Panama relocation tour to check it out, and she said, yeah, I think this is going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. But absolutely.
So, Carol, once again, thank you so much for joining us tonight and sharing all that great information. And thank you to everybody who called in tonight. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Carol.
Okay.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Carol. Good night. Glad you're feeling better.
Thanks.